Amen. Beautiful song. Been a beautiful night in the Lord's house. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be a part of this. I appreciate Brother Isaac asking and inviting me to come and preach for you tonight. And I hate that I wasn't able to do more earlier in the last couple of days, but I'm so thankful for what's happening here this week, and I want you missionaries to know that we love you. Zion loves you. We're praying for you, and I thank God for you. I remember when I came to the Lord just as I was, a sinner, lost, hopeless, helpless. And I was just an 11-year-old boy. But I was as lost as any other lost person. About 4.5 years ago, there was a flood. Came through my mom's place back home where I grew up. And family, we all rushed out there, got together, and started cleaning things out. And through that, she decided it was time to move to town, and we got everything rebuilt and was able to sell it and move her to town. But I'll never forget when I was saved, for one, but I'll never forget that day a few years ago as I was pulling that old sloppy, muddy carpet out, and I was there in my old bedroom. And right there in the southeast corner of that house, out in the plains of western Oklahoma, I pulled that carpet back, and I began to hit my knees and rejoice, because it was right there in that spot, some years ago, that I asked the Lord to save me, and heaven came down into my heart. And I rejoice tonight, and I say that I'm still a child of God because of what happened there that night. I said, "Mom, you got a permanent marker?" Yeah. I said, "Well, I know we're going to sell this house and all this, but you never know. Somebody may need to change the carpet again one of these days. And when they do, they'll pull back. And in this spot, Terry Caldwell put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And if you're reading this, I encourage you to do the same." And you know, that's just the simplicity of the gospel. You know, we do a good job complicating things, but I tell you this, Jesus Christ, almost 2,000 years ago, He came to this world and died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. And if you're here tonight and you realize that you are lost and undone in your sins and trespasses, that you are in a condition, that you are separated from God, and you realize that you're in need of a Savior, I want you to know that heaven is open. God is waiting. He would love for you to call upon Him tonight. Repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I promise you, He will save you. Amen. And He'll save you forevermore. Amen. You know, I've thought a lot about over the last month and a half, 2 months. I've been praying about this. I've been studying, and I'll be honest with you, I've been all over the place, and for some reason, and I just trust us, the Lord, I kept coming back to the Lordship of Christ. You know, I want to encourage you missionaries, especially here tonight, and I just want to say a few words. I don't have one of those big old fancy sermons with all the fancy words. But I learned something a long time ago in the ministry, that the way that I seem to find myself encouraged is when I just come back to the old story that I know so well. And it's so refreshing. It never gets old. And we always seem to find ourselves recharged and refreshed in the fact that we have a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And He loves us. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I just want to assure you tonight that I'm going to try my hardest to not do like the preacher where he was preaching, and boy, he's going at it, and the fella got up and walked out the back door, and he was a little concerned. He never came back. Time went on, and finally he came down, gave the invitation, and services were over, and so he asked the gentleman's wife, the brother's wife. He said, "Sister, is everything all right with your husband?" And "Oh yeah, preacher, he's fine. He sleepwalks all the time." Hebrews chapter 2. It sounds like everyone's there. Would you stand with me, please, as we give honor to the reading of God's word? And I just want to read a couple of verses here that I know you're familiar with, but oh, how glorious they are. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Father, as we humbly approach Your throne just now, we just have so much to be thankful for. Father, we rejoice, we praise You, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the salvation that You've provided for us. Thank You for His willingness to go to that old rugged cross, to lay His life down for us and for all humanity. Thank You that He was raised again the third day, and we thank You for the hope that we have in the soon return of our blessed Redeemer. And Father, I pray that You bless this church, bless Brother Isaac, his family. I pray Your blessing upon each of these missionaries and their families, the congregations where they serve, the field where they labor. Father, we know that You are the Almighty. You are all-powerful. And Father, I pray that You would encourage them tonight. I pray that You'd help us all to just learn a little more what it means to trust You tonight. We pray that Jesus would be exalted in everything that we say and do. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight about Jesus, about the captain of our salvation. And I want you to notice the text there in verse 10. It does say to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. As the writer here of Hebrews, and just in case I say Paul, then you understand, that's just my personal take on it. But nevertheless, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as the writer is saying here, he's trying to encourage the brethren. He's trying to encourage these believers who are Hebrews, these Jewish believers, in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, don't revert back. Don't go back, even in the time of trouble and despair, and at a time of discouragement and depression and all such things. He says, don't go back. Don't revert back to the law, because there's nothing better than what you have right here, right now. His name is Jesus. All of those things, the law and all the sacrifices and all of the rituals and all the things of the law were only a shadow of something better to come. Don't go back. There's something greater. He has come. My friend, I'm going to tell you, He is the same one that we praise and exalt and that we share and that I preach of here tonight. Amen. He's the same one that still saves souls. And when He came almost 2,000 years ago, as I mentioned earlier, I want to tell you something. When He went to that cross, He went to that cross for you. He went to that cross for me. And these missionaries out there serving in this field, you understand, and you're going forward because you know that Jesus died for every one of those souls out there. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we may question, sometimes we may wonder. Well, I want to encourage you tonight, and I just want to simply remind you that the Lord, as He died for you, He died for those souls. He is still alive and He's on the throne, and it's worth the work that you're doing. And I tell you what, it's a glorious work. It's a great work. It's the most important work, and I'll say this, and I wish the whole world could hear what I'm saying tonight. I believe the work that you men are doing is the most important work on the face of planet Earth. And I thank you for it. You know, there are many things the Bible tells us about Jesus. The Bible tells us that He is the door. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is the shepherd, the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star, the lily of the valley. He is the Almighty. He is a counselor, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Prince of Peace, wonderful. He is the Son of Man and He is the Son of God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and on and on and on we could go. I'm convinced the more I study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's one man that this is all about, and His name is Jesus. He came to redeem man from the days of Adam and Eve all the way to the last man to ever walk the face of this planet. I'm going to tell you, Jesus came to redeem, and He put forth the effort, and the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and I'm so thankful that God came seeking me. Amen. And He sent somebody in my path to help me find Him. And that's where you and I come in, brothers and sisters. That's the work. Listen, if we're not seeking to point people to Jesus Christ, then we're really not doing anything for the glory of God. Simple as that. At the end of the day, that's what our work is about. You know, I hear so much that, you know, the church is to bring glory to God, and I believe that. Anybody want to amen that? Amen. But I want to add to that and say that if a church is not striving to fulfill every part, might I say every part of the Great Commission, she is not glorifying God. Amen. There's no way around it. We can deny it all we want to. But listen, we are in the people business, and there's work to do. But I'm going to tell you what, we have a commander-in-chief who is greater and higher than all others. There is none higher. He is the owner. He is everything to us. The Bible says here, it tells us that in verse 10, "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things?" I'm going to tell you, everything starts with Christ. Everything is sustained by Christ, and everything finishes at the kneeling and confessing that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to tell you, He is our all in all. The word captain, as we find it here in this verse, is found only three other places in the New Testament here, this word, and a couple of times in the book of Acts, it's translated prince. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we find it author. And so what is the deal with this word captain here? Well, ark. It's chief leader. It's author. It's one who is first, not only in position, but also as you line up. In other words, you say, well, is he first in line? Is he first in power? You're getting it now. He is first. He is the one to be exalted. And God is not going to honor anyone who does not honor His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, He is the one who commands, but the idea here is He's also the one that leads us through. And as it says here, the captain of their salvation. Well, I want to tell you, all those saints before this time, And as the author here, as he's saying and he's encouraging and telling these believers, all those believers throughout all history, he has brought them to salvation. Now you make this personal, and the same is true for us today. Just as sure as he was the captain bringing them, ushering them, leading them to salvation, he is the one that will take us through the gates of glory as well. And I'm going to tell you what, there is no hope without Jesus Christ and the fact that he has provided and paved the way of everlasting life. You say, my goodness, he must be the captain of our salvation. Amen. He is. He is the captain of my salvation. And I want to look at this captain here tonight. I want you to see Jesus just a little bit clearer tonight. I know of nothing greater that I could say or do than simply share the passage here. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, he is a committed captain. Sometimes people will let you down. Sometimes I let my church down. Sometimes I let my family down. There are times when my church lets me down. And I'm going to tell you what, there is one who is never going to let me down. And that one is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is committed. And I want you to see in verse 9 his humility. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Do you realize what that says? That means that he stepped down from the glories of heaven to this sin-tainted, sin-stricken world, clothed himself, robed himself in humanity, walked, ate, talked as a man, lived and experienced life as a man. You say, why would he do such a thing? Because he loves us. He went through all of that he might die for us. But he didn't just come and die. He suffered and died. He experienced it to the fullest. He lowered himself. Boy, I love that text that over in that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, listen to this. Listen, this is so good. You don't believe me? Just hang on a second. Listen to this. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. I'm going to tell you something, that's worth shouting to the rooftop. Because of Jesus Christ, who has everything, I believe that Jesus was there when the world was created. I believe that he is the Creator, and I believe that he was willing. In all of his glory and all of his ray, he stepped down, lowered himself. And I'm telling you, brother or sister, the world may look at you and they may say you don't have much in the world's eyes. You may not have all the fame and the fortune. You may not have everything, the power and control, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are rich beyond anything that this world can offer you. Now, we see his humility, we see his humanity. Look in verse 9 again. He says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should," listen to this, "taste death for me, for you." What does it say? Y'all help me out here. For every man. Every man. Don't ever forget that. I tell you what, I still believe that when the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see his humility as he lowers himself. We see his humanity as he was a committed captain, going, ushering in salvation, paving and providing the way. Let me share another verse with you. John 1:14. You all know this so well. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Thank God that Christ was willing to surrender, to humble himself, to take upon the form of a man. And all of this, and I've already alluded to this, but while he was committed, he is also the crucified captain. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. As you all have read your Bible enough, and you know the Bible says there in the Garden of Gethsemane, says that he could have called 12 legions of angels. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that kept Christ on that tree was his love for you and me. He was crucified. He laid himself down. And Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says, "And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." There they crucified him. You know, on Wednesday nights, I've been going through the book of Leviticus with the church. And boy, I tell you what, I love studying that. And the more I go through it, the more I study it, the more I see the Lord. And you know, you get a picture here, the high priest, before he could go and offer a sacrifice for anyone else, he had to make sure he was clean and washed and go through all the ritual for himself so that then he could go on behalf of others. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we have a great high priest who knows no sin, and that's what that was all about. And then the high priest, as he would take the sacrifice and of course the lamb as it's carried there is to the place of death, to its death. And then, of course, he would not enter into the holiest of holies as he went in, especially as that once of years he'd go in and he would not go in without the blood, guaranteed. All right? Why? Because there is forgiveness in the blood. And you must be covered by the blood. You say, well, is he the Lamb? Or is he the priest, our high priest? He's both. And you say it's almost like as the priest picks up and carries this lamb as he's slain and the blood is caught and laid there on the place of sacrifice. You get the picture and you think about this, it's almost as though the priest would have to be carrying himself to the sacrifice. That's exactly what I'm saying. You see, Jesus came and as the great high priest and he carries himself to the sacrifice for you and I. My goodness, we have something worth rejoicing over. He was committed. He was crucified. But I'm going to tell you, praise God tonight, he is the conquering captain. They can go look all they want to, but I promise you they're not going to find the bones of Jesus anywhere. I believe that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead. And because he is bodily, physically, literally raised from the dead, he is the first fruits of our resurrection. And we have hope because he's alive forevermore. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered, yes, he conquered. He paid the penalty and the price, and he conquered hell in doing that for you and I and all humanity. He has paid the penalty of sin. Do you believe that song, that old song we sing that says Jesus paid it all? Do y'all really believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I believe it too. Jesus paid it all. He paid my sin debt in full. I like to put it like this. The old devil, he's got one foot in the grave and another one on the banana peel. All right? He's conquered. Jesus has paid it all. The Bible tells us here in our text in verse 10, it says, "In bringing many sons unto glory." Bringing many sons unto glory. I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're a child of God, and I'm not just for the men, the missionaries, but for every man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. If you're here and you're a child of God, you are as a son in the eyes of God. You are made an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And he's not ashamed of that one iota. I'm going to tell you how unfortunate it is sometimes we may be ashamed to call a brother a brother. Think about that. Whew, I just thought about that. That's kind of painful. But I've got a Savior in heaven who's not ashamed to call me a brother. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. You say, my goodness, how can we all be of one? It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He brings all of us to an equal playing field, so to speak. An equal plane. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is the conquering captain. Friend, you have hope in Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight and you are born again, I'm going to tell you what. You have something even greater to look forward to. You say, my goodness, how much simpler. You know, that's a simple message. I'm going to tell you what. I got to have things pretty simple and pretty basic. But I figure if I can get it, I know all you can. Jesus, one of these days, he's going to return. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them. And we're going to be with the Lord forevermore.
Amen.
What a glorious day that shall be when my Savior I shall see. He is the conquering captain. And I want to leave you with this last thought tonight. You know, sometimes in ministry it can be a very lonely place. Even whenever you're surrounded by people, sometimes it can be a lonely place. I want you to know that your captain is compassionate. He cares for you. I want you to notice in these verses, and we're just going to continue reading here, and you just listen to this. He says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Y'all thought I was making that up a while ago, didn't you? Right there it is. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, but no more. What's he say? He says, Jesus will set you free. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. I'm going to tell you what, we have a compassionate, caring captain, and he's not going to jump ship. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He knows it. He sees it. He is there with you. Brethren, I just want to encourage you. The same thing you encourage others, and you work so hard trying to get the lost to come to Christ, and you're always trying to just encourage your people to trust the Lord. I just want to encourage you in that same thing. Just trust the Lord. Simple as that. Learn to trust Him just a little more. Right over here in the next chapter it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brother Isaac.